We live in a vastly changed world now, vastly changed world. And what I am discovering is that I am now learning more and more from my brothers and sisters who are overseas. Did you know there are churches in different countries around the world? Did you know that this morning? I love it. For 200 years, we've been giving, praying, and sending people out of this nation. 250 years maybe now. God has answered, and there are churches in different countries around the world. In fact, there are very few countries that you can go into today, even hardcore Islamic countries, where God's church is not found, where there are not Christians who are meeting together, nationals of the country who are worshiping. Did you know that? Remember the Gulf War a couple years back? We'd watch it, almost like you watch the Sunday afternoon football game. I remember my son, Ryan, 11, sitting there watching it, saying, "You kind of almost think, Dad, that all these soldiers that you see shot are going to get up and start fighting again. It's like a movie." But you remember after the war finished, that group of Kurdish people that were winding up the mountainsides into the winter with no shelter, very few clothing, no food, etc.? Do you remember that group? Now, they are Islamic people, hardcore Islamic people. They were fleeing Saddam Hussein. Did you know, I was amazed to discover, that in that group winding its way up the mountain, fleeing the terror of Saddam Hussein, there are over 2,000 believers, Kurdish brothers and sisters that belong to you and I this morning. Blown away. Actually, church is kind of interesting when you think about it. When you think about worship and you think about the church, you begin to think, well, who's worshiping today? Did you know we're kind of on the tail end of Sunday here in Canada? Where does church service start in the world, do you know? Fiji Islands. Just across the international dateline, they started out. All those little islands in the Pacific, and then New Zealand gets going, and then Australia gets going, and then the marvelous big churches of Asia get going. Largest church in the world is where, do you know? Korea. All those churches in Asia, and it sweeps across Asia and into my churches of Africa, the Ethiopian church, across to West Africa, across Europe, across the Soviet Union. Finally, it gets across the Atlantic into South America and into North America, the fading churches of Canada and the excited states. And then finally, you know who gets to have church last in the world? Hawaii. I'd kind of like to be there. You could sleep a little longer before you went to church, right? It'd be good to grow up in Hawaii. We've got to understand that there's this marvelous family right across the world. It comes in all different colors, all different languages, all different cultures. We're so parochial here in Canada, we tend to think we're the only ones. And we don't like it when other people don't know about us, am I correct? Got to brag, I was at a swimming pool relaxing this year, down on vacation. Trying to look good. Every time my sons went by me, they go, "Shamu." It's been a rough year. And I was talking with a doctor husband and a doctor wife, both surgeons, specialists, at the swimming pool that we met. And they were from Charlotte, North Carolina. Accents as broad as you could be. Very articulate, very smart, obviously. Surgeons. "Where are you from?" "Well, I'm from just north of Toronto." Toronto. That's a province in Canada, isn't it?" So I'm beginning to, you know, hair on the back of my neck here as a good Canadian. I said, "No, it's actually a city." "Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a city. Just north of Seattle, right?" He said, "No, it's just across the lake from Rochester. Remember the World Series, etc." I said, "Nope, dead blank. No clue." For 3 days, I'm upset. Why don't they know anything about us? And yet, we know very little about our brothers and sisters across the world. This church family that we are asked to worship together with each day that God has set aside, and we have chosen Sunday, to honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's this marvelous mosaic across the world of worship. And we know about us. I told you that I've learned a great deal from my brothers and sisters overseas. In fact, I am humbled very often by my brothers and sisters overseas. I had a Brazilian couple in my office. You would love them. Maybe even some of you have had the privilege of meeting them. Their names are Tarcísio and Jurema Porto. They spent 3 months in Canada training because they were becoming part of the organization. After 3 months, I sat them down in my office, and they had a cute little baby in their hands that was born here in Canada, and so we've officially adopted it, of course, and everything, and it's now Canadian, etc. I said, as I ask everybody who spends time from overseas in our country, what do you think of us? What do we look like to you? Oh, very nice, very nice. I said, no, I want the truth. What do we look like to you as Canadian Christians? What do we look like? Finally, the wife spoke. She said, Mark, what we have discovered is that you are far more interested in projects than you are in people. Everything in North America is built around getting a project done under budget, at cost, with a profit, regardless of what happens to the people who are involved in the project. And she looked at me and she says, I've even seen it in you, Mark. Now I'm upset. She said, I've watched you with your children. I have three very beautiful children who look like me, and fortunately they don't. 16, 13, and 10. They said, we watch you. North America is strictly a to-do list. Even with your children, Mark, you have your to-do list. Get them up in the morning, get them breakfast, get them off to school, make sure they've done their homework, make sure everything is okay, get them out the door, fantastic. Get them back for lunch, maybe. Get them back for after school, take them to soccer practice, take them to swimming, take them to skating, da-da-da-da-da-da. Maybe have a prayer at the end of the day, get them to do their homework, put them into bed, done. And the only time you're upset is if you missed one of those checklist items. Then you feel frustrated and you're lying in bed at night going, we missed. Did you know any time during the day whether your sons or daughters grew in Jesus Christ? Did you know what happened to them during the day? Did you spend any time in relationship, or was it all just a checklist? She said, Mark, most of your life is a checklist to do. That's North America. She said, in Brazil, it's different, and it is. I've been there. If we're going to do a project, we're going to build a building, we're going to do a spring cap, we're going to dig a well, we're going to paint something, and Uncle João comes out and says, come on in for coffee, we stop the project and we go for coffee, and it drives you white people crazy. Any of you been overseas on work projects? Can relate to this? We're not good at relationships. If I polled some of the wives in this congregation and you had to say whether your husband was a great relator, if I polled some of the husbands, you had to say whether your wives were a great relator. Actually, women tend to do better in relationships than we do in North America. Business, our relationships are strictly to get us to a higher level or make the end goal the profit. What does the Bible have to say about relationships? Because it enters into the field of Christianity very strongly. You cannot sit in this congregation this morning and worship if your relationships with other people in this congregation are wrong. You cannot do it. That's what it says right here. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, Paul says, Paul is writing to a church that is having trouble with unity. I think they were Baptist. I can say that. I'm Baptist. Okay. And from the whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. Here's what I'm talking about. If you're a New Zealander, if you're Australian, if you're Asian, it doesn't matter. You have all been called out of darkness into the family of God. For this reason, I bow the knee before the Father, from whom everybody gets his name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power in the inner person. Boy, this is important stuff. Paul is saying, hey, look, this is pivotal. You want unity in the church. You want to worship me properly. This is what you're going to have to do. I'm on my knees praying so that you can do this. And what does he say? strengthened by the Spirit in the inner person, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. North Americans, as Christians, we have trouble. We do not know what it means to live by faith. Did you know that? We don't. Only now with the recession, only now with some of the world changing, only now with the old traditions and structures breaking down, are we suddenly having to go back to our knees and the Bible and say what it means to live by faith. Am I right? I know brothers and sisters overseas every day of their life who do not know where their next meal is coming from, who are on their knees and every day, every hour, with war, with famine, with heartache, they live by faith, and they teach me. And if we're going to get into the relationship side, one of the things we have to recognize is that everything we have in Canada did not come because you and I worked for it. It's because God gave it to us. And he can take it away just as quickly. And we live by faith, asking God to continue to bless us. I often have Christians overseas saying, "Mark, how come you have and we don't?" I don't know the answer to that one. 1 Corinthians 12, it says, God has set the body up the way it pleases him, but I do not have an answer. And it certainly isn't because we're more spiritual than they are. It's simply that in God's timing of things, he has given us things, but by faith we have to understand that everything we have comes from God. So therefore you don't worry anymore if he takes it away. And that's tough in recession, isn't it? That's tough when you're losing your job, like my buddy did with IBM this past week. It's tough to live by faith. But it sure helps you focus on God and sure helps you worship when you come Sunday morning in this room. And it sure sets your relationship with God and others more clearly. And then it says, so that not only are you having Christ in your heart by faith, it says, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. In love. See, North Americans really struggle with this because our society, particularly the society my children are growing up in, do not know the true meaning of what it means to be in love. We are actually, look at somebody in this room. Don't look at me anymore. Just turn and look at somebody else. You're supposed to love that person. What? You don't know them. Something was amazing. We were invited on Friday night to a goodbye for a couple who are leaving our church. It was very, very beautiful, actually. It was all catered, and we were in the backyard of a home in Markham, and it was very lovely, and they had little fire things going up that looked like candles, and it was all out in the backyard, and it was very beautiful and very pretty, all just immaculately done. But one of the things that kept coming out over and over again is that everybody at that place really loved this couple who were leaving, and we're going to miss them. And there were some people from another church that were there, and the wife turned to me and said, "We don't do this kind of thing at our church." I said, "We don't do it very often at our church either." There isn't a sense in North America where you as me, as white people, actually look at each other and say, "Yeah, these are my brothers and sisters. We're in love." Spiritual love. A passionate love, one for another, wanting the best for the other person. At best, we go by and say, "Hi, how are you doing?" not expecting any kind of an answer above the surface level, and then head out the door. And if anybody does get a little deeper before the service, we start getting nervous, and we start getting a little bit, I didn't want to listen to this anyway, and boom, we're gone. I know brothers and sisters overseas who understand this perfectly. They love their fellow person because they need to be loved back in order to survive. And so once we are rooted and established in Christ's love, we have the power, listen to the word, together with all the saints. Together with all the saints. Not just the white guys in North America, together with all the saints around the world. To grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. Foreign concepts here. Foreign concepts in my heart. Except that I am beginning to learn about relationships. Now, are relationships more important than projects? Does the Bible dwell solely on just relationships and it doesn't matter whether the work gets done? No, if you read in chapter 4, it's very encouraging to North Americans because it says you are built up and edified to get the job done. So it's a two-edged sword here. You have the relationships and you also have the work ahead of you. And my friend Jerema Porto ended with this. She said, "We need to learn from you how to do things in a project manner, and you need to learn from us how to have relationships one from another." That's why God is putting the church together. Why? So that on Sunday morning or Wednesday or in your little Bible studies when you meet, whenever else you get together, when you come together, the issue is not the project. The issue is that you are so by faith living, so rooted in love, so that you are together when, and the outcome is a worship of God. People ask me all the time, why have we lost the passion? Why have we lost the power, the relevance? I think it comes down to the fact that we don't know how to have good relationships anymore. So that when we come here on a Sunday morning, we're far more interested in how the other person is thinking about us or the things that went wrong during the week. We are not overwhelmed by the love and the power of God, so that the only thing we can do coming through these doors is sit down and praise Him and worship. But I've seen it overseas. You come in and the people don't have decent clothing. The men may have no shirts. They come in with tattered shorts on. And they sit down and they blow you away with the joy. Not a frivolous joy. Hey, the Blue Jays won. Isn't that great? Yeah, good. We're feeling good. A joy that is deep-seated because these people are going through a lot. But a joy that comes from the heart and a joy that expounds towards God, and all of a sudden you're just swept up with this group of people. How are you doing in your relationship one with another? How are you doing in your relationships at home? Husband, wife, children. Boy, isn't it amazing how things change when the children grow older? Terrible stuff. When the kids were small, little children were small, I saw them up here. That was wonderful, you know. Dad was wonderful. Dad was a hero. Nobody could throw the ball further. Nobody could run faster. There were no words like Shamu or anything like that. It was all just, you know, Dad was the hero. Dad was stronger. Dad was magnificent. And just before I left for Brazil a couple of years back, I was basking in this adulation. We were having a family evening. The Nintendo was off. The TV was off. There was nothing. We were just sitting around talking, and I was pointing out on the map where their hero father would go when he went to Brazil and see all these people. And I could see the adulation in their eyes. And my 12-year-old Ryan comes up and he put his arm around me, and I thought, this is wonderful. He's going to hug me. And he grabbed me around the neck and he put his fingers up to my head and he said, "Nobody in this room move or the fat guy gets it." Somewhere. I went from being a hero to the little fat guy. Somewhere in the course of church history in North America, we went from a strong relationship to God and a relationship to other to just dwelling on the maintenance of the institution and the projects. And I'm as guilty as the next person. It's time to get back to learn about relationships. Read in the scriptures what it takes to live by faith, to live in love, to be rooted and established so that these people are the people that you are in love with. And if somebody else comes through the door, even if they're from another culture or another language or another background, but they believe in Jesus Christ, they too are your brothers and sisters, and you love them, and you recognize that they have the same faith, and together we worship. And together we present to a world that does not know Jesus Christ what it really means to be a Christian. An effective and relevant church. My brothers and sisters, Canada is lagging behind. We are losing the power. And I believe it comes from our lack of relationship with God and our inability to relate to one another. I don't know all the answers, but I know that I'm going to try and commit to developing relationships better. Thank you, Tarcísio and Jurema. Brazilians, who can't argue Calvinism versus dispensationalism, but who told me what I needed. Let's bow in prayer. Maybe this morning you know there's some relationships that haven't been going well. And I'm not just talking about frivolous relationships. I'm talking about the stuff that Paul was talking about here. You haven't seen the world the way the Lord sees the world, his family. You haven't seen your congregation as a group of people to fall in love with, to encourage, to build up, to strengthen. You've been more interested in the projects, boy, I'm guilty, more interested in making sure that your children grow up the way you want them to be, project, rather than what the Lord wants them to be. More interested in changing your spouse to what you want them to be, as opposed to what God wants them to be, and nurturing the relationship. So that next Sunday morning when you get together, and the pastor is back, and you listen to Rick Tobias in the evening, he's a great speaker, there will be a true sense of coming together relationship to worship in the power of Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment, and if any of these areas are missing in your life, as they are in mine, let's confess them to God in a moment of quiet prayer. Lord, make us strong in our relationship to you and our relationship to others so that we carry out the responsibility that you have given to us, to our brothers and sisters who are part of our family, and present an attractive picture through the power of your Holy Spirit to those still outside of the family. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here and for our time together in Jesus' name.